Well, we turn this morning to the consideration of Joshua. We have the book of Joshua to guide us in our studies in this particular connection. Say to the men here this morning, as we look at this particular subject, how would you have coped if you had been in Joshua's shoes? Say to the women here this morning, how would you have coped standing in the shoes of Rahab, making a stand against everything that she had formerly known in order to stand for the God of Israel? These character studies in the scriptures challenge us. They challenge us to our very hearts with respect to our service to God. They pluck our minds, as it were, out of the mindset of our modern day. And they present us with men and women who were prepared to make a stand for God, the living God, in their day and generation, surrounded by so much paganism and false religion. But they were faithful. And that is why, or one reason surely why, we find our reading of the Old Testament scriptures not some tedious exercise, duty to engage in, but rather to fill us with a sense of wonder at the way in which God comes into the lives of men and women and boys and girls and transforms them and makes them useful and fruitful in connection with the things of God. Now, though Joshua does not get a mention in the catalogue of faith in Hebrews 11, he certainly was a man of faith. The apostle, in writing that part of the epistle, had to be selective because, praise God, there were so many characters that he could mention who had manifested this faith in God, and their lives had been transformed, and indeed they became useful and fruitful in the transformation of other people's lives as well. And particularly in the Old Testament, they did great exploits for God. And mere mortals as ourselves, they were carried through to do the work which God would have them to do, and wonderfully effective in it, notwithstanding being sinners still. But we come to these characters of the Old Testament and find sanctified men and women who are serving the Lord, heart and soul and mind and strength. So Joshua was a man of faith. Rahab, by the grace of God, became a woman of faith, that even great sinners might not despair when it comes to responding to the grace of God in the Christ who says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, Joshua is our English translation of the Hebrew name, and that Hebrew name means Jehovah saved, or some think Jehovah's or God's salvation. The whole service, as it were, of Joshua was a preview of the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ as Redeemer, as the Savior of sinners. As we are reading the book of Joshua, we see how, by the grace and power of God, this man goes on and on, securing victories despite many setbacks and disadvantages. Tempted, tested, yes, indeed. But God brings him through to victory. And so we see a foreshadowing of the life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Tempted in all parts like as we are, yet without sin. And victorious at the last, even over death itself, that we sinners might have hope. So Joshua is something of a looking glass to greater things to come, when God should send his Son, his only begotten Son, as the leader of his people, of whom Joshua served as a kind of human forerunner, whereby the people of his day and those afterwards might have some understanding of the victory of the Messiah when he should come. Well, we're looking at a whole book here. We have to be selective, and we need to be selective in a way which, as it were, takes hold upon the essence of what is involved in this book. So we're looking at Joshua's charge, Joshua's command, and Joshua's conquests. So first of all, Joshua's charge. He took nothing upon himself in connection with this position of military leadership and spiritual leadership of the people. He was set aside for this work. Some of us yesterday afternoon attended the ordination and induction of the new minister at Ripon, and that reminds us of the fact that ministers of the gospel do, true ministers of the gospel, do not take this upon themselves. It is a sacred charge laid upon them by God himself and confirmed by the church as such. And so it was necessary that the people should understand that Joshua was not some self-appointed merely coming to the position as a result of his parents' position or something like that. Joshua's charge for the work which the Lord had given him to do came first from the Lord through his servant Moses. Turn to Deuteronomy and chapter 31 and verses 7 and following, and you will see what I mean by that. Deuteronomy and 31 and verse 7. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee, fear not, neither be dismayed. You see, a charge which is full of promise and reassurance and encouragement. Joshua is not to be dismayed, notwithstanding the solemn responsibilities that were to be laid upon him. No one could step into the shoes of Moses. We have seen something of the measure of that man, the uniqueness of that man, in our previous studies. Despite being a sinner still sanctified by the Holy Spirit and God's grace alone, indeed, because of that, he was a spiritual giant as to learning, courage, and miraculous power, yet, as we saw, meek above all men upon the face of the earth. I put it to you, dear friends, how do you follow that? How do you follow such a leader as that? Well, that was what Joshua had to do. And consequently, he had to be prepared, and he received this charge to be courageous, be strong, and of a good courage. For thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. Humanly speaking, impossible to be accomplished. But with God, the things that are impossible with men are possible with him. And so the lessons that we learn with respect to Joshua's charge are lessons that encourage us when we face the difficult challenges of life. They seem too great for us. Indeed, they are too great for us. And how then are we going to accomplish that which is right and pleasing in the sight of the Lord? Well, it has to be with us, as it had to be with Joshua. And here are some points to remember. First of all, the Lord goes before. That is why his servants prevail. That is why his people prevail. And so Joshua is charged and given that encouragement. And the Lord, that is Jehovah, the covenant God, he it is that doth go before thee. We have that image in our hearts of following Christ. Christ who said, follow me. He doesn't say, go in front of me. He says, follow me. So that we always know that he is ahead. He knows the way through the wilderness, as we put it. And he is the one who enables us to find our way through this wilderness of a world. The Lord goes before. Now, not only does the Lord go before, but the Lord is with us. And so Moses says to Joshua, he will be with thee. What a great encouragement that is, dear friends, in the trials and troubles and temptations of this present passing life. The Lord himself will be with you, says Moses. We often forget that aspect, don't we, of the Lord being with us in our troubles, difficulties, and challenges. rushing around like headless chickens, as the saying is. We seek to sort out the challenges of the day. But wait a minute. Have we not forgotten something? The Lord, He will be with thee, says Moses to Joshua. And then there is this aspect that the Lord does not fail and the Lord does not forsake. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John with respect to the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what do you find? You find that He was always in command in every situation, in all of the changing scenes of life. There was nothing that could defeat Him. From the temptation of Satan in the wilderness to the crucifixion of Christ, where even the sun hid its face, we find the Lord Jesus Christ 1,000% competent. I know that's an underestimate. Competent for the circumstances of this world. The Word made flesh and dwelling among men, in order that human perfection might be manifested in the midst of a world of sin and opposition, and in everything He prevailed, even to the last. There at the cross, He cries, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? As the terrors of the broken law come upon Him in the stead of His people. But nevertheless, He is victorious still. And on this first day of the week, He rose again from the dead. And He goes before. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Can you not remember those words for your day of trouble? For the time when weeping comes, He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. And so Joshua has to take heart. We're all used to that. In particular circumstances of life, we feel worn down. We are full of anxiety about this or that. It is time to pull ourselves together and take heart. So Moses says to his successor, Joshua, fear not, neither be dismayed. In fact, that's the Lord's message to the man, as it is the Lord's message to you, believer, today. Take heart, fear not, neither be dismayed. Now, Joshua's commissioning also came direct from God. If you turn over here in Joshua to chapter 5, for example, we have this wonderful account here commencing at verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, this city that he has to take, which is defended by walls which appear to be up to the sky, so massive. When Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? See, he was a man of courage. He was a man to make his stand. But he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth, and did worship, and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. He must not proceed with his mission. He must not proceed in his calling without being utterly persuaded of the holiness of God, and in particular, the holiness of the eternal Son of God, who would come incarnate into this world of sin and who would prevail against the world, the flesh, and the devil. Let's get things right, dear friends. That's what we're challenged to by these circumstances in the life of Joshua. What was his charge? His charge was, briefly, to lead God's people according to God's word. I've read those opening verses there of Joshua chapter 1, those first 9 verses. And God gives Joshua his charge to lead the people. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. There was no time for doubting. It was no time for watering down what needed to be done. The Lord himself gives the charge, and the man must take it and act accordingly. So God charged Joshua to be courageous because he would be with him. Yes, there are dangers in the life of faith. There are enemies, great enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. They will have the best of us. But for our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. So Joshua is given that assurance there in verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. How important it is to be familiar with the biographies of these men and women of faith in the Holy Scriptures, because we see that God is faithful to his word. He takes this frail flesh and he uses this one or that one in ways far beyond what we might imagine. We come to the history of the Church of Christ, and what do we find reading about this man, this godly man, or this godly woman? We find exactly the same. They face the most desperate of circumstances, but they hold fast to God in Christ, and they discharge the duty which he has given to them. Now, at the heart of this, God charged Joshua to keep the word of God, to follow the truth that we find in the Holy Scripture. That is the secret, dear friend. That we must be men and women and boys and girls of the book. And this book must guide us in all of the enterprises of life. So in verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, Joshua was to be a commander, a soldier. Yeah, yes, he needed to keep his sword sharp. Yes, he needed to keep his shield in order and so on. But he is not going to be successful in his mission except he puts the word of God first in connection with his personal development, defense, courage, strategy, everything else. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. You know how the scriptures have been a strength to you in your times of trouble and discouragement. You understand, believer, why it is that God himself should commend to his servant Joshua the word of God. It is absolutely in the position of prominence in these circumstances. And when it is in the position of prominence in our lives, the world, the flesh, and the devil, they are at the disadvantage. For the truth of God prevails. So, secondly, Joshua's command to the people. In verses 10 and following, we have his command to the people. Look at verses 10 and 11. First of all, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare your victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess." After 40 years of wandering in the wilderness till all of that generation died out, their sons and their daughters now received the charge to go forward into the possession of the land which God himself had given to them. These words reminded the people that the beginning of the fulfillment of God's promise of a land flowing with milk and honey was imminent. The time was now. They were to possess the promised land, but they would have to fight for it. Conflict must precede comfort. A picture for all subsequent generations of believers. Spiritual warfare precedes the saints' rest. Let us not be slumbering on our couches here. This is the time to be in the field of battle with our sword and with our spear. Thus Peter praises God there in 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Can you not see it, believer? Then onward, onward in the battle to fight the good fight of faith. We have a wonderful prospect, but first the warfare. Thus Paul encourages Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:12, "Fight the good fight of faith, laid hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Nothing must distract us. Our attention must be upon our duty. Well, after all of the years, including my childhood, traveling along the A-66, passing this army camp that used to so interest me when I was a little boy. But you see, I never saw any soldiers. I saw the lorries. I saw armored cars. And whatever else, as the road passed through between the two sides of this military base. But can't remember seeing soldiers. Where's all the soldiers? We travelled it the other day, and there they were, out in the field with their exercises, uniforms, guns, and everything. First time I've seen it in my life. Traveled that road so many times. Looked for it with such interest when I was a boy. And there you are, at the latter day. They were there. And so we're reminded that there is a holy war taking place, and that we must have our armor to hand. There was a charge to Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. They had chosen their inheritance on the side of Jordan where they were. They had chosen inheritances on the east of Jordan, but had promised to go over the river to fight with their brethren. And Joshua reminds them the battle belongs to all the saints, not just a few. And so we have Joshua's charge to them to remember. Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. And that's still so true today, isn't it? Remembering God's word through his servants is a great encouragement to believers. We preach Christ crucified is our motto. When the pulpit is centered upon the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there will be life in the pews, and there will be life, spiritual life in the workplace. There will be spiritual life in the homes of such people. And so we must remember the word and be assured that faithful service will not go unrewarded. Remember the parable of the pounds. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. You see how this is both proportionate and disproportionate. There is proportion there for faithfulness. Faithfulness will have its reward. 10 for 10. You've gained 10 pounds, be over 10 cities. But you see, there is also disproportion. You have been faithful with the pounds, but now you must deal in cities, not pounds. So proportion, and yet vast disproportion. For the heavenly world is not like this earthly world. Whatever connections there might be, that will be altogether beautiful and altogether excellent, and in some respects beyond our understanding at this time. We are given those insights in various parts of the scripture, the book of Revelation in particular. But when we see it, then we will know as we are known. So the commitment of these tribes are a challenge to us. In Numbers 32, we read that Moses gave inheritances on the east side of Jordan upon condition that these tribes still fought in the conquest. And it is in this connection that we have these memorable words of Moses in Numbers 32:23. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. God has his expectations of his servants, and rightly so. And it is sin for God's people to decline to fight the good fight of faith and leave it to others. And so Joshua instructs them, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan, but ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it. We're not to be content, dear friends, to sit in the pew, in the service of God. He has daily work for each one of us to do. And you must don the armor of the Lord and unsheath the sword of the Spirit and shine in this world of sin as a soldier of Christ. All that thou commandest us, we will do, reply these men. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. Do we have such commitment, dear friends? Is the challenge, is it not? Now, a few minutes in connection with Joshua's conquests. The remainder of the book recounts those conquests in some detail, and you can read them for yourselves. But I trust that what has been said this morning will help you to get that into context and see the connection between what was happening under Joshua's leadership and how things should be with us under the leadership of our beloved Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, the captain of our salvation, as he is described. But there is the conquest of Jericho, chapters 2 through to 7. Remembered for the great miracle of the walls falling down flat, and also the survival of believing Rahab and her family. So the apostle explains in Hebrews 11:31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. How precious is that faith that reverses, as it were, all of the consequences of a life of sin. For we say to the Almighty, there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mightest be free. And so here was a woman of this world who becomes a woman of fear. What a transformation, dear friend, from Gentile iniquity into this true Israelitish walk of faith. That's Jericho, chapters 2 through to 7. Ai, chapter 8. In this particular case, after the setting of an ambush, the Lord directed Joshua, this is verses 18 and 19, stretch out the spear that is in thy hand toward Ai, for I will give it into thine hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city. And the ambush arose quickly out of their place, and they ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand. And they entered into the city and took it, and hasted and set the city on fire. The direction comes from God through his servant Joshua, but the people must respond. And so it is to this day. The church has her mission and exceeding great and precious promises for the performance of it. But the people of God must be ready to go forward in the service of the Lord. In chapters 9 through to 12, we have many kings defeated. I have to leave that for your own consideration. And then in chapters 13 to 21, we have the settlement of the borders of the tribes. But I hope at least we have given some insight here, not only into the character of the man, but also into the conquests that follow in consequence of Joshua having such a character as he did. And so it goes on and on in the history and development of the Church of Christ. The Lord must rule till all his enemies be made his footstool. And Christ must fight the good fight of faith daily and do so in that state of faith and mind whereby we heartily believe that we will be more than conquerors through him who loved us. So the book concludes with Joshua's exhortation to the people and the covenant renewed. Don't miss out chapters 23 and 24. They are so encouraging. And Joshua's charge to the people is still relevant to us today. He and his army are to be our role models in fighting the good fight of faith. And so he says, be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. Cleave unto the Lord your God as ye have done unto this day. A reference there is chapter 23, verses 6 and 8. That's the sort of text, surely, that you want to remember. Perhaps you put a little mark beside it in the margin. Be ye therefore courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the Lord of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. Cleave unto the Lord your God as ye have done unto this day.